morning. You know what? I'm learning things all over the place this morning. I wish Anthony was still out here so I could point it out. He's a really tough guy. He's a really tough guy. You know how I know that? He's wearing a t-shirt up here today. I can't believe it. I'm looking around to see if anybody else is dressed in a t-shirt today. Tough people. It was 0 degrees this morning when I checked my phone. I was out in the lobby. I wondered how cold it was. Zero. So I learned something else. All your car batteries were good. Your car started. Praise the Lord, right? What a great day it is so far, right? That's just the beginning. It's a good day. It's good to be here. I'm Pastor Vern. If you are visiting with us, it's good to have you here this morning. The end of the year is a natural time for us to think about, you know, the past year and to think ahead to the next year. And I asked our volunteer group this morning, how many of you make resolutions or set goals for the coming year? And I don't know if they were just kind of like being reserved about it or maybe people don't do that anymore. I mean, there was very few people in our group this morning that said they were going to do that. I'm just curious, how many of you think about, you know, look ahead to the next year and you decide I'm going to set a goal or I have some resolutions or there's some things I want to accomplish in 2018. Anybody? Oh, okay. So some of you do. All right. It's a natural, right? It's a natural time for us as we flip the page on the calendar to think about what 2017 was like and what we're looking into and things that we want to change. It's also natural because it comes right on the heels of Christmas when we've probably overeaten, under-exercised, you know, been way too busy. So a lot of our goals are around, you know, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to exercise, I'm going to calm down, I'm going to, you know, not go so fast, and I'm going to take more time to enjoy things and that kind of stuff. It all makes sense as we approach the new year. Now, we do make some mistakes sometimes when we set our goals for the year. One of the mistakes we might make is trying to overreach. You know, like I'm going to lose 50 pounds this year. That's probably going to be overreaching for most of us. Or I'm going to exercise every day. You know, for me, overreaching would be I'm only going to buy one book a month. Okay, my wife would be really happy if I could meet that goal. I'm not going to meet that goal, so I'm not even going to try, you know, because I buy like one book a week on average. So that's not going to happen. But, you know, we do have to be careful about setting our goals too high. Same time, we have to be careful about setting our goals too low or just deciding we're not going to set any goals at all. I was looking at the comics. Any of you read the comics still? I like to read the comics. You know, there's a lot of wisdom in the comic strips. Right? Sometimes. Not always. Sometimes. So here is what I found in the comics this weekend. I'll start with this one. This is For Better or Worse. Okay? So it's a family. And I'll read this to you like I would read it to my kids when they were younger. Dad and mom and the kids are in the kitchen. They're getting breakfast. And Dad says, "Well, here we are in a brand new year. I think we should all make some resolutions, don't you?" And mom says, "Okay, I resolve not to criticize, to nag less, and to bake more often." And the kids all go, "Yeah, right, right on, that's great." And then Dad says, "I resolve not to lose my temper and to fix all the things in the house that need repairs." And the kids go, "Great, okay, Dad, good." And then the little girl says, "I resolve to brush Farley, the dog, to keep my room clean and not to fight with Michael." Dad says, "Good. You liking these?" And then the little boy, the young man, says, "I resolve to play road hockey, hang out with my friends, and watch more TV." Okay? And mom says, "Wait a minute. We all made real promises. Your resolutions are worthless." And he says, as he's walking away, "I know, but at least mine will be kept." Right? So we could probably say he's setting his goals too low, right? He's not taking this idea seriously. Peanuts, okay? Classic Peanuts, Charlie Brown and Lucy. Charlie Brown is coming up to Lucy with a paper in his hand, and he says to Lucy, "You're going to be proud of me, Lucy. I've decided that this next year is going to be my year of decision. This is a list of things in my life that I'm going to correct. I'm going to be a better person." And Lucy says, "Not me. I'm going to spend this whole year regretting the past. It's the only way, Charlie Brown. I'm going to cry over spilt milk and sigh over lost loves. It's a lot easier. It's too hard to improve. I tried it once. It drove me crazy. Forget the future is my motto. Regret the past. Oh, how I regret the past. Why did I do this? Why did I do that? Why? I regret it all. Oh, what regrets, what remorse, what anguish, what..." And Charlie Brown throws his paper away and just sighs. We might say Lucy, she has a goal, okay? She's going to regret her past, but that's not where God wants us to be either. You know, here's the thing. God is very much concerned about our growth. He wants us to grow as people, and growing means that we set goals for ourselves. It means that we look ahead and we see where those places in our life where we're not where we know we want to be, and we want to do more. We want to do better. I want to be more patient. I want to forgive more quickly. I want to get irritated less often. I want to let the small things go and not worry about them so much. You know, these are all things that God would say to us, yes, those are ways I want you to grow as well. You know, to this little guy who doesn't want to set any goals, God might speak to him through scriptures, and there's a scripture in 2 Peter chapter 1 that he might use to speak to him. He says, his divine power, God's divine power, has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. And a little bit further down it says, for this reason, the reason that we have God's power in our life, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Increasing measure. See, God wants us to grow in these ways. To set goals that are honoring to God is something that God encourages us to do. So we shouldn't set our goals too low. At the same time, God would have a word for Lucy, who wants to just focus on her regrets of the past, and a lot of us get stuck there. God would say to us what Paul wrote about in Philippians 3, where he says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, it being this life that Christ has offered to him. He doesn't have it in full yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. God doesn't want us to live in the regret of the past. Jesus Christ died on the cross so that all of our regrets of the past could be forgiven in him. We'd be washed clean. We'd get a new life. You know, this is the beautiful thing about the Christian life is every day you have the opportunity to start afresh. Every day we have the moment. Every moment we have the opportunity to start afresh. Whatever we've done, even if you blew it this morning, right now, in this very moment, you can offer that up to God and say, Jesus, forgive me for the way I blew it this morning, and give me a new heart and a new way, and move me forward. And God wants to do that for us. He doesn't want us living in the regret of the past. He doesn't want us to go like Lucy does and just kind of go through that laundry list day after day of the things that we could have done better. We've all got them. We've all got them. We just need to lift them up to Christ, give them to him, and then move forward with Jesus. That's what God wants for us. And I hope that becomes, if it's not clear to you, I hope it becomes more and more clear to you as you go through this next year. Well, here's the thing. I want to suggest to you three simple resolutions for living out the next year that I would encourage all of us to make. They don't come from, I didn't come up with these, they're very simple. They actually came from John Wesley, who was the founder of Methodism, our denomination, and he spoke these to a group of people who were in Christ. So this is important to understand. These are people who had given their lives to Christ. They have received the salvation offered by Jesus. And Wesley spoke about these things as ways to know that people were serious about walking forward, stepping forward with Jesus. They were serious about living out their faith, the faith that they had received. And he called them, they've been called the three simple rules. Three simple rules, and they are this, and we're going to go through each one quickly. Do no harm, do good, and stay close to Jesus. Three simple rules. Or, instead of rules, you could say they're three simple resolutions for us to live by in the coming year. To do no harm, to do good, and to stay close to Jesus. So let's talk about them. First of all, do no harm. Wesley followed up that simple prescription with a list of things that what he meant by do no harm. He included things like fighting and quarreling and drunkenness and swearing and things like that. I want to kind of expand that and think about it this way. I resolved that in 2018, I desire to do no harm to myself. No harm to myself. Now, there's a lot of ways to think about that, but you know, maybe the most frequent way we do harm to ourselves is the way we think about ourselves. Just talked about how a lot of us carry regrets with us, or we carry worry with us, or we carry resentment with us. You know, that's harmful to us. And so one of the ways we can do no harm is to resolve, I'm not going to carry those things anymore. I'm not going to do harm to me, to my soul, by dwelling on these kinds of things, regrets, worries, anger, resentments, those kinds of things. Another way we might think about it is I'm not going to do harm to others. I'm not going to do harm to others physically. I'm not going to do harm to others with my words. I'm not going to do harm to others in the way that I treat them. We might also think about, I don't want to do harm to the reputation of the church, okay? So when I'm on social media, if I'm upset about something happening with the church, I'm not going to hit send. I'm going to talk to somebody about it. If I'm not happy about things, I will address them in right ways. We might think about, and this is the one that just kind of brings me back all the time, I don't want to do harm to the name of Jesus. I don't want to do harm to the name of Jesus. You know, it's kind of a cliched joke at this point, but you know, the idea of the guy that's got the fish symbol on the back of the car, and yet they're driving like a maniac, you know, right? And we look at that and we say, it's not such a great witness, is it? Well, it's cliche, but it's true, right? I mean, in a sense, if we are followers of Jesus, and I'm speaking only to those of you who are followers of Jesus, if we're followers of Jesus and we make that known, then we represent him everywhere we go, right? And so if we act in ways that Jesus would never condone in us, we're actually doing harm to his name, right? So we need to take that with some seriousness. I don't want to do harm to the name of Jesus. People know I'm a Christian. They know I'm a follower of Christ. If I lose my temper in the grocery store, you know, and go off on somebody because they're frustrating me, I'm doing harm to the name of Jesus. So this is the first resolution, do no harm. Maybe the place where it's hardest to live that out, this do no harm, is with people that we're in conflict with, right? People that we're struggling with, people who are treating us badly. I've been reading through Romans 12. One of my resolutions for this coming year, I've already been working on it for about 3 weeks now, is I want to memorize Romans chapter 12. For me, it's one of the best chapters in the New Testament for a way of living. Okay, and I'm working on memorizing. I wanted to do that for a long time, and I just never really applied myself to it. So this is a goal of mine right now, is to memorize Romans 12. In Romans 12, there is a section that speaks exactly to this idea of doing no harm to those that are creating the most trouble for us. Okay, and it's Romans 12. It starts with verse 14. He says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse." So somebody's causing you problems, they're persecuting you, they're giving you a hard time, don't curse them. Don't curse. You know, sometimes the best place for us to start as we're trying to live a new life is I'm going to stop doing some things, okay? You know, if you can't say something good about somebody, don't say anything at all. Have you heard that, right? So I can't say anything good right now, so I'm just going to close my mouth. Right? Sometimes we just have to stop. Well, that's do not curse those who are persecuting you. He goes on in Romans 12, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it's mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. We can trust he'll take care of situations. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. And then the last verse in this chapter is, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Don't let evil, whether it's an individual who is causing you aggravation or harm or hurt, or it's the evil of the world that we live in, don't let evil drag you down with it. Overcome evil with good. Do no harm. Do no harm, even to those who are opposed to you. Do no harm. You know, we have a great example of this in the Old Testament. David, King David, he wasn't king at the time. He was actually the king-to-be. Saul was the king, and Saul was actively persecuting David, wanting to kill him, chasing him through the wilderness, trying to find him so he could. On two occasions, David had the opportunity to kill Saul. He could have done it, got away with it, and would have been supported for it. And on both of those occasions, he refused to do it, even though his own men were urging him, do it. He's there. You can do this now. You can get away with it. It'll be fine. And then you can become the king. And David said in both those cases, I won't do it. I am not going to hurt this man that God has placed in this position. I won't do it. He stood up and he did no harm when he could have. This is a model for us. Do no harm. The second thing is do good. Do good. There we go. One of the most famous stories that Jesus told in the Bible, Jesus told a lot of great stories. One of the most famous is the story of the Good Samaritan. You know the story, right? And just real briefly, it's a story about a man who is on his way down the road, and he gets attacked by robbers, and he's beaten, and he's robbed, and he's left to die on the side of the road. And a couple of religious guys come along, one after the other, and they see this man lying there on the road, and they just step aside to the other side of the road and keep going. And Jesus says another man comes along, a Samaritan, a guy with no status in the society, a guy a lot of people would have looked down on, a guy a lot of people would have avoided themselves. The Samaritan comes along. He sees this beaten man lying on the side of the road. He stops. He tends to his wounds as best he can. He picks him up, and he takes him to a place where he can recuperate, and he tells the owner of the inn, he says, whatever his bill runs to, I'm going to pay it. I'll take care of it, okay? Now, I'm reading that story, and I'm thinking about this message, do no harm, do good, and I'm thinking, you know, those two religious guys, if they had been confronted, well, why didn't you stop and do something for him? You know, what kind of people are you? They could have well have said, listen, we didn't do any harm. Right? I mean, we went that far. We didn't hurt anybody. We didn't beat them up. We didn't rob them. We didn't do anything to harm them. So we're good, right? Do no harm. We didn't do any harm. And so it's not enough for us to stop at do no harm. We also have to go to this one, right? Which is do good, right? We're not just to be kind of hands-off people in the world. Jesus didn't, you know, do you ever wonder why you get saved and then God leaves you here? People have sometimes asked me that question, actually. They've said, you know, how come we can't just go to heaven the minute we get saved? Why can't we just get off the earth and go to heaven and be in a good place? Well, there's a reason for that. God leaves us here so that we can do good in the world, right? When the disciples of Jesus began to preach about him in Acts chapter 10, Peter is preaching about Jesus, and one of the things he says about Jesus is he went around doing good, okay? And he's our example to follow. Jesus simply went around doing good. We're to be people, as Jesus followers, who will go around, and as we have opportunity, do good. It's not enough to do no harm. We also have to flip that to do good. Proverbs 3:27, you may want to write this down, it's not going to come up on the screen, says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to act. So see, the idea here is when you have opportunity, okay, don't withhold the good you can do. When you can do good for somebody, do it. Don't withhold it. Don't keep it back. As you have opportunity, do good for people. Actually, I was reading about some of the news events this past year, and you remember the bombing that happened in Manchester, England, at the end of that concert? 22 people were killed. You know, it was a horrible thing. One of the interesting stories that came out of that, there were two men, two homeless guys, who would have been something like the Samaritan in Jesus' story, despised, looked down on, two homeless guys who were had come to the arena. You know, maybe to panhandle, maybe as a place just to you know, spend the night. When that bomb went off, these two homeless guys, a lot of people ran away from the scene, which makes perfect sense. We understand that, trying to get to safety. These two homeless guys ran in and began to tend to people. Just like the Samaritan in Jesus' story, right? They ran in and began to tend to people's wounds and do what they can to help them. One of them, I wrote down what he said. One of them said, just because I'm homeless doesn't mean I haven't got a heart. I'm still human. I'd like to think that someone would come and help me if I needed the help. See, this is what Jesus calls us to. He calls us to be people who will first do no harm, but secondly, do good where we have opportunity as we can. You know the golden rule, right? Jesus shared with us, Luke 6. He says, do to others as you would have them do to you. It's not complicated. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Now, there's a third resolution we can make, and that is to stay close to Jesus. Stay close to Jesus. Do no harm, do good, stay close to Jesus. Actually, the way that Wesley put it was, attend upon all the ordinances of God. Well, the ordinances of God are simply those practices that bring us into a place where God can pour his grace out on us, where he can change us and mold us and bring us to be more like Jesus. Okay, so we're talking about things like worship. And I got to tell you, if I had some gold stars with me, you'd all get a gold star. Because you're here this morning on a day when it's 0 degrees outside. You got up and you got dressed and you came to church. You came to worship, and that's awesome, right? You're here. But let's make it a regular practice to be in worship, right? This is how we stay close to Jesus. Wesley talked about listening to the sermon, listening to the Bible being expounded, okay, which is what you are doing right now, I hope. Okay, I have to look around real quick. Make sure if somebody's sleeping next to you, poke them because they'll feel embarrassed afterwards. Because we're supposed to listen, you know, to the word, and we're supposed to read the word ourselves. We're supposed to pray. Okay, we pray and we do all these things. Why? So that we can get those gold stars? No, we do these things because they bring us into a place where God can speak into our hearts and minds. Right. It's the soil. Worship and prayer and Bible study and fellowship with each other. This is the soil, okay, that God uses to grow us up into Christ-likeness. All right? So we need to make it a practice to do these things. We have to stay close to Christ. Jesus said this in John 15 as he was talking to his apostles shortly before his crucifixion. He said, and all of this is going to be, you could summarize it as stay close to me, but let's read it. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now again, there's a lot that we could unpack in that, but the point I want to bring out of that today is Jesus says it several times, remain in me. We can't do anything of real value if it's not driven by our relationship with Jesus Christ. Remain in me, he says. So how do we do that? Well, a few weeks ago, somebody asked me after a church, they said, well, how do you do your devotions, what we call devotions? He said, you should share that with us sometime. I thought, well, okay, I will. I'll share with you what I do. I'm not saying you have to do it the same way, but I'll just tell you how I do it. So my devotions start with this, because until I have a cup of coffee, I'm really foggy in the morning, okay? I don't think well. I get distracted real easy. So I make some coffee, and I'll drink a cup of coffee. And at some point during the morning, I will go to the table in our kitchen, and I will pull out my tools, okay? And these are my tools, all right? Right now, my tools change, especially this one changes from time to time, but right now it's my tool. This is my utmost for his highest. It's a devotional. It's been around a long time. A lot of people use it. I've used it in the past. I'm using it again right now. It's a daily devotional. It has a scripture and has a reading, and I will read the scripture from the Bible, and I will read the reading, and then I write the scripture, in this notebook. Okay? I just started. Oops. That's why I can't find my pages. Okay? So I write the scripture in my notebook. And then from the reading, I find a sentence or two that really speaks to me, and I write that down in my notebook, okay? And then I think about what I've read, after I thought about it a minute or two, then I write a prayer at the end of that. So let's see, what a day. Get to today. I'll just tell you what I wrote down as my prayer today. Jesus, help me today and tomorrow to leave the past in your hands. It is finished. That's what Jesus said. And to step into the future confident in you. Help me become more wise because I am trusting you. That was my prayer for today, based on the reading that I did today. So that's how I spend my devotion time in the morning, okay? About 15, 20 minutes. Now, I will be honest with you and tell you that if you took my notebook and leafed through, you would see that there's a day here and there that says missed, because I've missed a couple of days, all right? And sometimes when that happens to us, we start our devotions and then we start missing and we think, oh gosh, I've blown it, you know, and no regret, remember? What do? We start again. We press on. We move forward. We sit down. We pick it up and we keep going. We don't spend time regretting that we missed a day. We just pick it up and we keep going. Now, that's how I do it. You may do it a different way. This is a Bible that I've had for a while, and I had to get a new one to preach in because there's places I can't read this one because I've written in it so much, okay? And kids, you know, if your parents don't want you writing in books, then you listen to them. But this is a working Bible, and so I write all kinds of things in this. There's notes, there's questions, there's quotes in here. Warren Wiersbe said, when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels to the glory of God, that's ministry. You know, I got quotes like that in here. This Bible is held together by duct tape, okay, and scotch tape, because I've been wearing it out. I love this Bible. This Bible will get passed on to my kids someday when I die. And I hope that they sit around one day and just kind of read. And say, wow, Dad had some weird thoughts. And look at that. And, oh, that's a good one there. You know, I hope they do that. Deb gave me some running shoes for Christmas because the shoes that I wore this past year are wearing out. You can see the wear marks on the heels, you know. So it was time to replace them. So she got me some new ones. I would encourage you to wear out a Bible this year. Just wear it out through use, right? Read it so often that at the end of the year, you got to duct tape it together. That would be all right. That'd be all right. Three simple things, right? Do no harm. Do good. Stay close to Jesus. Let's pray.
Thanks for joining us on the Northgate Podcast. We hope this message has been a blessing to you as you walk with Jesus Christ. For more resources, visit our website at northgatefmc.com or download the Northgate app. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next time.